FPL Pod Season Preview Part 2 is ready for you. Position by position, we predict which players will be hot and which maybe not ahead of the season start. Hello and welcome back to the second FPL pod of the season. And there's still a week to go until the big kickoff. Don't say we don't help you out. Now, earlier this week, you will have heard us discussing how we go about selecting our teams. But today, we're going to take a look at positions and we're going to work out who we think could be the best options. Plus, I'll even be putting everyone on the spot by asking for their predictions for the rest of the season. Now, as promised, my wingman and woman for the season, Sam Bonfield of FPL Family and broadcaster Julian Laron, are back with me. Sam, thanks again for making the effort to be here.
Thanks for having me again.
Jules, thanks for coming off the sunbed. You're still in France.
Exactly. Thank you. Just was in the swimming pool and now I can have a little break for you guys.
Ah, oh, it's all right for some.
It is, isn't it? I think we should have relocated the podcast to France, but alas, the bosses wouldn't let us. Now, I hope this isn't you starting as you mean to go on and you're going to be back in England moaning soon about the weather and probably FPL as well. Anyway, this week we are also joined by ex-Arsenal player turned broadcaster Adrian Clark. Adrian, it's good to have you along. I hope you've had a good summer, but to be honest, I don't really care about that. I just want to know how many drafts in FPL you're currently on.
20 or so, I would imagine. I've not been keeping count, but yesterday alone I think I had three or four different teams. I'm becoming obsessed. It was a slow burner for me, but I've come back from holiday. My head is in the game. And yeah, I can't stop thinking about my team. But I want to settle on this group of players I've got right now. But I don't think I will.
Welcome along to the FPL Obsessive Club. There's quite a big membership now. Now, on Monday, we did ask Sam, Jules and Gianni for their first names on their team sheet. Now, Jules said Trent Alexander-Arnold. Sam and Gianni both said Mo Salah. I'm going to be honest, for me, both of those players were the first names in my squad. What about for you?
They are two, but there's a third for me, and it's Gabriel Jesus. Ooh. This season, because I've watched Arsenal in pre-season. He looks sharp. He looks dynamite. And I think he's going to revel in the role of being the main man up top for Arsenal. So, yeah, I'm excited to get Gabriel Jesus in my team. I think the price is good at just 8 million. So I'm going to pair him with one of the big guns up top, I think.
Okay, well, we'll talk through positionally in just a moment. So I'm sure we're going to talk plenty about Gabriel Jesus. I'm also interested to hear what Jules thinks on him as well. And I've got to apologise, Sam. Sorry, you're in an Arsenal sandwich today. I've just realised.
I'm not happy about this. Who did the booking?
Okay, well, that is your first name on the team sheet, Adrian. Well, three first names on the team sheet for you. But of course, we do need a whole squad of 15 players. So as I said, we're going to try and fill our squads and we're going to go through positionally. So let's start with the goalkeepers. Now, for me, the eternal debate with strategy when it comes to keepers, Jules, is do you go premium? Do you go budget? What's your strategy?
I usually go one premium, so one of the most expensive, whether you go Alisson, Edison, something like that, and then a really, really the cheapest one possible, a number two somewhere. I don't care. Never really cared. Never really thought about goalkeeping much, to be fair. And this year I tried something different. So I'll have two number ones in at the moment, Ramsdale, who's my boy, of course.
Shock.
And Henderson, who I think could have a really good impact at Forest, especially in the back five. So, and can rotate, you know, depending on the fixture, depending on their form and stuff like that, instead of going one big name and then someone who you know would never play.
It's interesting that he's decided to do this year when they've reduced the price of the premium goalkeepers, because suddenly the likes of Alisson and Edison are going to cost you less, Jules, but yet you're not going to invest in them this year.
It's because he loves Ramsdale. Something. Surely everyone knows that now. I don't know how many minutes we are into this podcast, but I knew it wouldn't take long for you to get that in.
He would be cross with me if I don't say that he's my number one in the team. So, you know, I have to put him there because I know he's listening.
One of his friends once again. I wonder who those friends were. Friend number one of the season, Aaron Ramsdale. You mentioned that there, Sam, but that's a really interesting point because we have noticed a slight shift in change in the pricing of goalkeepers this year.
Yeah, absolutely. So we've seen Alisson and Edison both come down in price this year by 0.5, so coming into the game at 5.5. So suddenly they are in that bracket with Well, they're cheaper than some of the kind of more premium defenders. So they're in the conversation now, whereas before I think most managers, with the exception of Jules, who likes a premium in the past, would have gone, actually, they're quite expensive. Instead, I'm going to go with the cheap options. But now we can afford them.
Yeah, I was like that. I used to go for a mid-ranked goalkeeper that would make a lot of saves, get bonus points there, but would also play for a Wolves or a Brighton or a Palace, where they pick up a fair amount of clean sheets as well. But this year, I'm going anti-Julian, and I'm going to go with the big gun in between the sticks. I think Alisson is a great pick. You look at the price, 5.5, and I had a look at the top point scorers from last season, and by some distance, at that price, he earned the most points.
Yeah, 18 more than any other goalkeeper
exactly.
last year.
Exactly, and I think the outfield player, the closest outfield players were 30 points behind Cash and Gabriel at 5 million that they're priced up this season. So I think great value with Alisson this year.
We do also have to consider bonus points as well. So with those kind of goalkeepers, we know we're probably, quite likely you'd think, to get clean sheets. But if you are going for a cheaper goalkeeper, Sam, it is worth thinking about how many saves they're going to make, because that does translate into bonus points.
Definitely. I mean, when you think about how many bonus points, so Alisson got the most bonus points last season of goalkeepers. He had 15 of them. But when you compare him to the likes of David Raya and Gaeta, they actually average more points per match than the likes of Mendy, who's just slightly cheaper. So it kind of means that you probably either want to go in with those budget ones, or you want to find that extra budget and go for a premium rather than hitting that middle ground. Unfortunately, I'm not sure I kind of like the Ramsdale pick quite as much as Jules does this year. I think there's really good value to be had.
He's not bothered, is he?
He's not bothered. No. There's really good value to be had in the budget keepers, but I think the value is definitely there with Alisson and Edison, and I can see me wanting to go with one of those two.
Do you want to stick up for Ramsdale, or do you want to move on to the budget keepers, Jules?
Listen, I promise you he'll be cross with me. So I have to, again, go with gut feelings and also with, like, you know, relationships. And he's my number one. I love you, Aaron. You're amazing. Give me a really good season, more points than anybody
Jules,
else.
You don't get bonus points for good passing out from the back. You know that, right?
He will. Yeah, I can't believe you all of you are underestimating him for the season.
Okay, so let's talk a little bit more about the budget goalkeepers then, because Jules, you've said you've gone for Henderson.
Because I think he must have been so frustrated by not playing at United for the last 3 years, really. I mean, he was great at warm-up, you know, warming up De Gea, or, you know, waiting for Cristiano to have loads of shot at him. And now this is his chance at Forest in a back five to shine again, like he did maybe at Sheffield United, for example. So I think potentially in that bracket, for that money, for that budget, I think Henderson could be a really interesting pick.
Okay, so Henderson for Jules. Adrian, who's your best cheaper goalkeeper? Are you going to be doing this rotating goalkeeper strategy?
I'm not going to be, because I like Liverpool's start to the season. I think there are 5 greens in there on the FDR, 1 red. So it's a nice, comfy start to the campaign. So I'm just going to go with Alisson and his number 2, Kelleher. If I were to go down that route, I would have gone with Brighton's goalkeeper, I think, Sanchez. I think that Brighton are very, very capable of keeping clean sheets. I really like Graham Potter tactically. He can shut out anybody. So he makes a lot of saves as well, Sanchez. So he would be my pick at 4.5.
For me, I like Raya at Brentford as well. Brentford's fixtures are really nice up to game week 10. He was the joint 4th best points per match goalkeeper last time around, of the first choice goalies.
Is he going to be number one, though? Because they've signed an international goalkeeper, haven't they? I think to be sort of kick, you know, stiff competition.
There's definitely a question mark, I think, this year, which there wasn't last year. But what we did see at Brentford last year is when Raya played, they were significantly better defensively. I think it's going to take a bit to shift him out of that position. So keep an eye on it, definitely. But if you are going for a 4.5 like Raya, then you're going to have another one as well. So if he does miss the game here or there, at least you'll have your rotating pair to come in.
How do you sit with these rotating pairs, or if you are going to go with an expensive goalkeeper, do you make sure you've got a second goalkeeper that plays? Because I never used to, and then I get hit with a few injuries. And during the whole COVID season last year, it did make me think, I don't think I can risk my goalkeeper having COVID and not having a keeper.
Yeah, I mean, I've always been one for having 2 playing goalkeepers, regardless of you know, where we are. And if you're playing a premium, I still like to have a second that will come in. Now, be that, as Adrian says, their second, so that if they're ill, you know, they're the second choice goalkeeper at that club comes in. That's one strategy that definitely works. You feel comfortable. But for me, I do like using a 4.5 in that second spot. be safe.
I think we've gone all the way through this goalkeeper chat and you haven't revealed your two yet, have you, Sam? Go on.
Well, I keep kind of going backwards and forwards and backwards and
that
forwards.
That makes me think that she's not completely set.
Yeah, yeah,
I'm not.
Yeah.
I'm not completely set yet.
I'd love it if she picks Ramsdale.
Of course she will.
No, you know who she's going to pick.
I've actually got...
Lloris.
Yeah. So I've been backwards and forwards with Lloris and Mendy and Alisson over the course of this pre-season and trying to work out the 0.5 here and there. Lloris actually had a really good end to the campaign last year and under Conte has been fantastic. So he is definitely one I'm looking at. I do really like Alisson though. It's just whether I can use that third Liverpool spot a little bit better somewhere else.
Do you think that's going to be the debate for a lot of managers? Because Alisson, Edison and Lloris are all 5.5. Are they going to be the three? If you're going to go for a premium, it's just going to be picking between those three, do you think, Adrian?
I think so, yeah. Alisson made a lot more saves last year than Edison. Edison was quite quiet and I don't think they picked up too many bonus points. Same with Mendy. So yeah, I think they're the three standouts. Lloris makes a lot of saves.
He does, yeah.
Spurs, you know, as well as they did last season in the end, they did concede a lot of shots. So, but he is the undisputed number one. I don't see Forster taking his place.
And the shots that Spurs do concede tend to have low XG, so they are good, comfortable saves on the whole for Lloris. So that does mean the opportunity for save points and therefore bonus points if Spurs have a low scoring game. So there's potential there.
I like how this debate started because we've all got different goalkeepers. Yeah. We've got Ramsdale, Lloris, Alisson. As it stands, I'm on Edison, but a bit like you, Sam, there's plenty of time for that to change. Let's move on to defence then, because I'm wondering, Jules, because some of the premium goalkeepers are a little bit cheaper, I'm wondering if that means now if you've got a Manchester City keeper, maybe there won't be so much need or urgency for managers to then want to have a Manchester City defender, say.
Yeah, you're right. Although you can also think that Cancelo is a must-have in your squad because he's so good on both ends of the pitch. I mean, in the sense that there's a lot of clean sheets coming. And then with the ball, what he brings to that team is pretty incredible. And with Erling Haaland added to the squad and Julian Alvarez, you can even think that there might be even more assists from Cancelo, more creativity, more that we get more involved, more touches, bonus points, etc., etc. So maybe for you, Cancelo, with like Trent, is a must-have. But yeah, you're right. The fact that the premium keepers could be a bit cheaper, maybe instead you go for Reece James, for example, and don't have a City defender, but instead go for a Chelsea one or a Liverpool one or something like that.
It's interesting though, isn't it? Because I think in the past you'd have had to go Trent and Robertson at Liverpool and that's going to cost you significantly more money than going for Trent and Alisson. So, you know, you can save a little bit of budget there and still have the defensive double up if you want to.
Yeah, I completely agree. I'm going to double up. I have to have Trent Alexander-Arnold. I mean, you look at the chances he created, 90 chances he created last season. 18 of them were big chances. And I looked at the other defenders, it's double any other defender in terms of the quality of chance that Trent Alexander-Arnold created last season. I think he's only going to get better as well.
Do you know what? I can tell you've done a lot of drafts and I can tell you've really been tinkering because you've got an iPad there, but you've not opened it. These stats are just on the tip of his tongue.
Yeah.
They're whirling around his brain all the time at the moment as he weighs up all of these
decisions.
I'm in
game mode.
You are very much ready for the season. Jules, you said that in the last podcast, Trent Alexander-Arnold was your first name on the team sheet. He is the most expensive defender in the game. He's 0.5 more than Andy Robertson and João Cancelo, but you think he's still worth that. Could managers, if they are struggling for funds, go for a Robertson over an Alexander-Arnold, do you think?
Yeah, you always can, but he would be once again the I think the biggest creator in that Liverpool team. I'm a bit worried about the amount of games he will have to play with the World Cup, and considering how young he is and how early he started his career and how many games he's played already, I think it might be a lot. And I think, again, we said that in our first preview, there's going to be a lot of rotation with the five subs, with the fact that there's the World Cup halfway through the season. So he might not play every single Premier League match because he will need some rest at some point. And Klopp obviously addressed that in the transfer window too. So with the arrival of Calvin Ramsey. So let's see how much Trent plays. But I think like it would be crazy for any of our managers not to have him in their team.
We've all got him here, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so we've all got Trent Alexander-Arnold. What about the other premium defenders? How are you feeling about those, Sam?
So for me, Cancelo goes on the list with Trent as a kind of essential pick. Now, there are some budget options at Manchester City. You could save a bit and you can go Diaz and you could save quite a lot and go Walker if they don't sign anybody else in that position. But Cancelo remains a standout pick for me. He was second among FPL defenders last season for points scored, of course, just Trent Alexander-Arnold beating him. 11 assists, which was the same as Robertson got last season, and only one short of what Trent Alexander-Arnold got. He also got 27 bonus points, which is a lot. When you think about these additional points, they really make a difference between where you finish in your mini leagues or in your overall rank. So having players like Cancelo who get a lot of bonus points, really useful.
He's a class act, but the sample size is only really from last season. Last season, he was exceptional.
Yeah.
The season before that, in and out of the team. So yeah, he made a big breakthrough season. Will he continue to hit the same numbers? He tailed off a little bit, I felt, towards the end of last season as well. So there's a slight question mark there. And because of that, I'm thinking of steering away from Cancelo. Ooh. Not because I don't rate him, he's great. But for a million less, you can get Reece James. Mm. Now, Chelsea are more than capable of keeping clean sheets. We know that. Maybe not quite as many as Manchester City. But this is a guy that produces many direct goal contributions, that's goals or assists, as Trent Alexander-Arnold last season. 5 goals, 9 assists. And he did it playing 1,000 less minutes. So if he's fit, Reece James, I think he could be an assist machine. And he chips in with all types of goals as well.
Do you have any concerns about him playing at centre-back, though?
Yeah, that's,
because
that's
this is my main concern, is that with Rudiger going, I worry, and I've had this once before with Reece James last season when I bought him in when he was coming back from injury and suddenly found him at centre-back. Yeah. And I was like, I don't want you there.
No, exactly.
You're not getting me FPL points standing there in the back line, because if that clean sheet goes, you're paying the premium on these players because you want those attacking returns.
If he plays right centre-back, he's out.
Yeah.
No question about that. But in a Tuchel team, the right centre-back will still get forward. They'll sort of underlap a little bit. But if I'm Thomas Tuchel, I've got one of the best wing-backs around. I would have to play him there.
The way I also look at it as well is if he can play multiple positions, he's more likely to start week in, week out.
And that's definitely true. I just worry slightly that Chelsea haven't exactly looked defensively solid in pre-season. So if I'm playing a premium for a player like Reece James, then I want to have someone who's going to get attacking returns, and actually maybe Chilwell is more likely to play out on the other wing and therefore is a better pick potentially than James. Mm.
And there's also, I think, a little doubt over a back four or back three or five for Chelsea. I think Tuchel is tempted by the fact that he can change and go to a back four, considering the defenders they lost, and right now only Koulibaly has arrived. So I think if it's a back four, I think it's a very different Reece James than if it's a back three and he plays as right wing back.
One other thing I wanted to throw into this debate. I was a little bit surprised maybe that Chilwell was priced the same as James. I know he missed a lot of last season. Is it just James over Chilwell? No debate.
It's a good question, because Chilwell was on fire. He was on fire, wasn't he?
Yeah, he was excellent.
But it's so long ago that we saw him in action that I think he's become forgotten, possibly in my own head. But he's a good player. Marcos Alonso is more than likely to leave, I think. So he will be the undisputed first choice at left back. But how is he going to come back from injury? Some players take time, don't they?
I've got to be honest, I looked straight for James and Chilwell's price, thinking, I can save 0.5 here because I think Chilwell might come in priced a bit cheaper, but he's not. So I guess for reliability, for safety, I imagine most managers are going to go for Reece James. Now, if you want to afford all of these premium players, of course, we need to have some slightly cheaper ones. I think there's kind of three sections in terms of pricing when it comes to your defenders. What about in the 5 million-ish bracket, Jules? Who's standing out for you there?
I find that really exciting, and I've looked even below the 5 million. I mean, the 5 million and below is really, really good, because you've got young players like Jed Spence at Spurs, like Nico Williams at Forest, like Tyrell Malacia at United, who I think so far have rotated in pre-season with Luke Shaw. But I wouldn't be surprised if Malacia became very quickly the number one left back for Ten Hag at United. And he's got so much potential. And 4.5 is really cheap if he starts playing a lot of minutes and having good performances, good games. You can look at Mitchell as well, at Palace, who was really strong last season. And I expect Palace to be even better with this season with Vieira, better, stronger defensively as well. So all of this, and it's really trying to find this young, cheap option that will bring you more points, very differential, because all of those are not massively picked so far. So it's down to all of us to have a look at pre-season performances and a bit of gut feelings to see which one of those youngsters is going to play the most and bring you the most points.
Might not be quite so young, but I'm really looking at Matt Cash at the moment. I think
he's not that old.
He's not that old, but he's not as young as the youngsters that Jules is talking about. But I think, you know, he was the highest scoring FPL defender last season outside of players at the Big Six. He played in every single game for Aston Villa last time out, and that is exactly what we want in FPL, right? We want ever presence in our team. And he also got 20 returns in that time, be that clean sheets, assists and goals. So I think for me, he is somebody that I'm really looking at. And of course, teammate Luca Dean is in that same price point as him. So you could potentially go there as well. But Aston Villa start a really nice run of fixtures at the beginning of the season. And nobody's really talking about them defensively. I think most players are looking at, you know, the more attacking-minded players in that team.
It's a good shout, I think. But for 5 million, you can get Zinchenko at Arsenal, for example. You can get players at Chelsea, at some of the bigger clubs. So, but cash will play every week, as you rightly say. The one that catches my eye at 5.5, if I'm allowed to go half a point above, is Perisic at Spurs. Because
all right, Sam Bonfield.
Yeah. Look, it hurts me to say, if you remember from last season, Kelly, I banned all Spurs players during the run-in. It didn't help me on or off the pitch.
It didn't go well.
So I'm not doing that again. But yeah, Perisic is a... He's obviously not young, he's 33, but he's very good inside the final third. In the Champions League last year, he put in more crosses than anyone else, and he only played 6 games. Mm. He will supply ammunition for Harry Kane and others for fun this season. He can also score from corners. I think he 4 goals he got from set pieces last season for Inter. So, yeah, I think goals and assists and clean sheets for Perisic this season, I'm expecting.
I mean, I'm enjoying this conversation. Let's keep talking about this.
He's not in your team at the moment.
He isn't at the moment because I've been kind of looking at sort of slightly differential players. So I've also been looking at Kieran Trippier. Mm. I think he kind of falls into that category, and he's going to be quite easily forgotten because of the injury that he picked up. But when we think about how he started his Newcastle career, he scored twice and got a clean sheet in those first 4 appearances, then broke his foot, which ruled him out for 10 game weeks, which wasn't ideal. But he's got set-piece duty. So like you were talking about with Perisic, you know, he's got that additional route to points that you like. The clean sheet prospects, I think, for me, have massively been boosted at Newcastle with the signings that they've made this summer. Obviously, they've brought in Nick Pope in goal. They've got Botman. They've also signed Matt Target permanently now. So suddenly that defensive unit looking a lot stronger, and you've got a player that has Premier League experience and pedigree, and we know can score goals and get attacking returns like he did at Spurs all those years ago.
Okay, into the cheapest category of defenders, the 4 or 4.5 million ones. We know at this time of the season, Jules, we can often find gems. I often think back to John Lundstrom at Sheffield United a couple of years ago.
It's a dream,
if you get
it?
On players like that early, it could be so beneficial, save you so much money and get you points. Who are the John Lundstroms of the new season?
So my money is on Malacia, Williams, Nico Williams and Jed Spence, all 4 million or 4.5. And I think potentially they could all start, potentially bring a lot of points. A lot of them, I mean, Forest and Spurs would play with the back 5. So the 2 wing backs, Jed Spence and Nico Williams, could potentially have a lot of attacking returns as well, because they're going to be quite attacking. And Malacia is an attacking left back anyway, although United would play with the back 4. But with Ten Hag, the fullbacks are very, very important part of how they play and their creativity. So if Malacia can earn that place, that starting place ahead of Shaw, I think Malacia for me is a no-brainer. What an amazing talent they've signed.
Before we move on, Adrian, I just wanted to ask you about Tomiyasu, because he's currently the most popular 4.5 million defender in the game. But I'm told you're not sold on him as an FPL asset.
Don't do it. No, that would be my message. No, not because he's a poor player. He's a very good player, but he's injured. He's been injured for the entirety of pre-season. We've not seen him. And I sense that at the start of the season, we'll see Ben White at right back with William Saliba, who's of course come back from French football.
Yeah, of course.
I think he will partner Gabriel with potentially Zinchenko at left back. So yes, I would steer clear of Tomiyasu. Saliba at 4.5 could be a nice pick. We know Gabriel scores goals, 5 goals I think last season he scored. He's priced up at 5. Just going quickly back to Manchester United and the style of play under Ten Hag. Dalot. What about Diogo Dalot at right back? I think he's fancied ahead of Wan-Bissaka by Ten Hag, and he's very attack-minded himself. So for 4.5, he's in my team at the minute.
You know what? We could do a podcast, I think, on each positions, but I think we do have to move on because unfortunately we have decided to try and fit them all into one podcast. So let's go into midfield. Firstly, Mo Salah, all got him. Are we all accept that that's non-negotiable?
It's for me.
Hang on, because Adrian said he would have Alisson, Kelleher and Trent, so there's no room for Mosala.
Oh, no, it's
there.
Not Kelleher. No, you're right.
Look
you're
at him
right.
trying to call
I
him out.
I had to change. No, it's good that you picked that up because I did change Kelleher because of that very reason. I've just got someone that's four.
No, but
I can't
maybe
even remember
I thought because you're an ex-pro, maybe you had a special rule
it's
for
like
you.
It's like a cheat
code. No.
Well, yeah, okay, Alisson will play every week. Yeah, I'm just going to risk it. Yeah, but good observation. Well done.
Anyway, back to my previous point.
I like Kelly actually listen to the guest and what they have to say. You know, so.
Anyway, back to my previous point. Can anyone pull out Jules' Zoom connection, get him back on that beach? In terms of premium midfielders, if we're going for Salah, if we're going to have those premium defenders, Sam, mm-hmm. what do we do about the other premium midfielders?
Well, it's very tough because you kind of have to really consider then what you're going to do. And we'll talk about forwards in a little bit. You have to consider if you're going to have Salah plus all these premiums we've been talking about elsewhere, whether you've got space for the likes of Son and KDB. And unfortunately, in a lot of FPL teams, they might be the sacrificial lambs because you just can't afford to have them all. And it is really difficult. And not having Son, for me, Kelly, you
I
know
can
me
see
well.
The pain
is real. And it's really difficult. He produced 23 goals last time around, won the Golden Boot. None of them came from the penalty spot because he doesn't have those in his locker. He got 10 assists last time out too. He averaged 7.4 points per match last time around and was involved in 51% of Spurs' goals last time out. Now, not putting him in my team in a season where I do think that Spurs have signed well and will do well feels difficult. But if you're going to do that, it means you've got to strip the money really out of the forward line. You can't really afford to have a premium up there.
No. Yeah, he's 30 now. He's probably over the hill, isn't he?
Excuse me. I'm the youngest one here and I can't believe I'm having a go at you all.
I love
for
Son.
Age yeah. gags.
No, I love Son, but he feels a bit pricey, doesn't it? At 12. I think because in the past we've been able to get him for the round 10, haven't we? So, yeah, that increase hurts. He was in my original team where I would have one Premier striker instead of two. But
Striker, they've been upgraded. I like that phrase. We'll call them Premier strikers. Jules, the other one, if we can't have Son and we're struggling for funds, another player that we might potentially have to overlook, Kevin De Bruyne, do you think that's a bit of a mistake or is Salah the only premium midfielder that we have to have really?
If you can find room and money for both KDB and Salah, then go for it. Because I think, and you saw the goal he scored the other night in the friendly, which was pretty fantastic. It looks like KDB is on top form already. And I think if he's fully fit and his ankle is right and there's no little niggles there and there, because we know that he plays at times with a bit of injury and he doesn't mind going through it. But it's incredible. When you look at the ownership so far, it's only 16%, 1-6 for KDB when he's 56 for Salah and I think 26 for Son. So, you know, maybe there's a bit of a differential, although 16 is quite high, but not as high as the other two. So if you can find a space, yeah, of course. And we said City can hit the ground running very quickly this season. And if you add Erling Haaland to KDB's creativity, you can just imagine how many more assists he can get. So it's obviously a very good thing if you can have both Mo Salah and KDB.
There's some quite interesting options in the 8 million price bracket this year, though, isn't there?
I think so, yeah. Saka appeals to me, plays every week.
Shock.
No, but he's a good player.
No, I agree.
We can all see that with our own eyes. I mean, there was only one player that had more touches inside the opposition box than Bukayo Saka last season. That was Mo Salah. He gets defenders on their back foot. He gets into great positions. He has an awful lot of shots compared to the majority of midfielders from inside the box, Bukayo Saka. And I think he's a player that's on a steep upward curve. So, you know, lots of goals and assists last season, but I expect that to go up. And for 8 million, it does appeal. Ødegaard is another really strong option at 6.5, but probably won't come up with the same kind of numbers. The other one that stands out is Mason Mount. I just think that he's not guaranteed 10 goals, 10 assists. That's what he did last season. And I think that's what he himself, that would be his target. At the start of every season, he gets into those goal-scoring positions a lot. He makes goals as well. He takes their set pieces. So those are two standouts for me at 8. Bowen at 8.5.
It's a big price rise for him, wasn't it? As we expected.
Yeah.
Yeah, and he was phenomenal, wasn't he, last season? So not surprising to see him have such a big price jump. But again, I think it puts him into that slightly more difficult budget pick. And I said in the last pod that we did that it was all about price points for me. So the 8 million one is really important. Another one that I'm really thinking about is Luis Diaz and the double up with Salah in the midfield, because I think that Liverpool have a really good start to the season. Adrian said before about how good their start to the season is in terms of fixtures, and he's got a really good record for penalty Area touches in the end of last season. So he averaged one every 10.8 minutes, which was more than any of these other 8 million midfielders this time around. So he's going to be in the right places. And I think that could bode well for him.
One thing I also wanted to point out, you guys sent me your drafts. Jules and Sam, you both went for Grealish. What's the thinking behind that? I know you've watched a lot of football this pre-season. I know he's had a good pre-season, Jules. Mm. I'll let listeners into the fact that we have a WhatsApp group and Jules has watched every single pre-season game going. We mentioned a game last night and he was like, well, he played well for 45 minutes and then not the other 45. You're meant to be on a family holiday.
I know. When everybody's asleep. I've been impressed by Grealish, I have to say, in his pre-season. The assist he gave to Erling Haaland the other night, for example, and that first touch was amazing. And he's at 7 million, which I think is a really good price for someone who I expect his second season now to be much better than the first one because he had a year to digest the whole Pep Guardiola methodology and principles and style of play and et cetera, et cetera. And I think with the departure of Sterling as well, even if there's still a lot of competition for places at City with Mahrez and with Foden, by the way, two other 8 million players, I think this could be a very good season for Jack Grealish. So I don't know what Sam thinks. Maybe it's a bit of a gamble right now, but I think it's a clever gamble.
Yeah, I mean, I really liked what Haaland had to say about Grealish. I thought that was really, it made my mind up in terms of the Grealish-Foden conversation, which was going backwards and forwards in my head. But that extra million goes such a long way. And I do think that the sales of the likes of Sterling and Jesus make a big difference to the minutes and the position that Grealish is going to get on the pitch.
It's a leap of faith, I think, in Grealish to base this on pre-season form. Friendlies, I don't know. I can't watch friendlies like the way that Jules does. I just can't do it.
No one else can.
Doesn't float my boat in the same way, clearly. I think Foden will accelerate his game time, his contributions. And I think that Riyad Mahrez could be a points machine if he plays a little bit more often. And with no Gabriel Jesus, no Raheem Sterling, you'd imagine he'll get more game time.
Okay, so all of these still cost quite a lot of money. 8 million, 7 million, still quite a lot. We need some cheaper options, Sam. Throw some names at us.
Yep, so the FPL community out there generally really likes Neto at the moment, but I am slightly worried about Wolves with injury to Raul Jimenez and what that might mean.
Does that not enhance Neto's appeal in terms of going forward?
I think it does somewhat, but I just worry about the impact that has on the team.
That they might just not be very good.
That they might just... Well,
that's what you're trying to say, isn't it?
All right.
Oh, blimey, shots fired. More that I just worry that they might not necessarily have the personnel that they need in those opening few weeks of the season. I do really like Leon Bailey. I think Aston Villa have had a really interesting summer. And when he arrived last year, I remember thinking this guy could be somebody that kind of breaks the template of FPL. But then he was injured for a lot of last season and didn't get the consistent game time. But he has been getting game time in pre-season and has been performing really well. In fact, Gerrard basically said that he changed the game. He showed energy, speed and hunger and caused problems when he came on. So all of that for me is something that I'm looking at thinking, well, if he's going to get consistent minutes, 5 million... That's a really nice price point.
I like Neto. I just before his injury, I thought he was the real deal. I thought that this was a kid that would follow Diogo Jota to one of the big six. Really good enough, I think, talent wise to play for those guys. But he this is a big season for him. He's on the comeback trail. He's been sharp, I'm told, across the friendlies. So yeah, Neto, I think, will play up front in Raul Jimenez's absence, one of two strikers. And if he can recapture the form he's capable of, I think he can deliver a lot of goals and assists.
Brownie points to Sam as well. Not only has Jules been watching all of the football, Sam's clearly been listening to every post-match interview.
I have.
Quoting Stephen Gerrard there. That's the commitment that we like. Let's move on to forwards then. And I think there's only really one place to start, isn't there, Jules? Haaland, Kane, which way are you going? Do we have to have one of them? Which one do we have to have?
Don't let me down now, Jules.
It has to be the debate right now in terms of the most expensive. They are the two most expensive. We said in the first preview that sometimes maybe you just wait and see for the new signing, even a Erling Haaland or even a Darwin Nunez in those big clubs, because they might just need a bit of time to settle. They might need, but you can bring them on now and just be patient, or you can wait a little bit and bring them on later, maybe after 1, 2, 3 games. I don't know. For me, obviously, with my relationship with Harry Kane, H, as I like to call him, of course, as we call each other, J and H, Kane is there. He's already my captain. You know how much I love him and how much faith I've got in him, even when he's rubbish. So he's there. But I would understand the Erling Haaland bandwagon, of course.
In the last 8 seasons, Kane has returned at least 17 Premier League goals. In the last 2 seasons, he's had 65 goal involvements.
Sam, let me just interject. We knew you were going to go for Kane. We know he's got the stats, but have you guys got a little bit of not having Haaland fear?
Totally. The fear of 100%. Missing out is 100% real. Look, Haaland is a phenomenal player and he will only add to Man City's game. He will add to the appeal of KDB and all of these other players that we've been talking about. But you can't have everybody and you have to get used to the fear of missing out in FPL and maybe do a little bit of swapping around between them as the season
goes. Kane doesn't like August, does he? We know that. Never scores in August, George. You should know this. He's your mate.
Come on now.
You should know this about H. He's a slow burner.
I do know. I still take the risk. I take the gamble.
Sam, can you put your hands on your heart and tell me that this is... If Harry Kane didn't play for Spurs, would you still be going for Harry Kane over Haaland? I'm trying to kind of get like an almost an impartial... If you put those two players next to each other.
I think if I wasn't a Spurs fan, I would still look at it and go, I think that Kane is still a really attractive option because of the way that Spurs have been in pre-season. I think last year going into the season, I was less... Had it been Haaland versus Kane at the beginning of last year, I would have 100% been in the Haaland camp. But the way the feeling is, the signings that Spurs have made and the progress that they've come on, the journey they've been on under Conte so far, make him more attractive. I think if he was playing for Man City or Manchester United or Liverpool or Chelsea, I'd still think that the way that he's been performing, he's a better pick. He's Premier League proven in a way that Haaland isn't. I think Haaland will be by the as soon as we get started. I'm not for a minute suggesting he won't. I like the security of knowing that I've got one of the best Premier League strikers.
And you can flip between the two, you at that price point as well.
Yeah, absolutely. And that was my original plan, was to have Kane for game week one and then switch to Haaland for game week two. I know what will happen. I will not want to make the switch, but there is definitely the scope to move between them.
I'm the type of manager, again, that just hoped that one of them was 0.5 cheaper. So that would make the decision for me, because at the moment I'm just going between the two. Someone who there doesn't seem to be quite as much debate on at the moment, Gabriel Jesus, of course, now an Arsenal player. Adrian, currently the most popular asset in the game, and 8 million is quite a nice price, isn't
it? This is why he's the most popular asset, isn't it? Because 64% is it, I think, at the moment of players have him in their side. He's looked dynamite, I've got to say, in the friendlies. And I know that they're only friendlies, but he is the undisputed number one. He'll play pretty much all the minutes. And I think he will score goals. And I think that he will create goals. And I think he will be a real eye catcher. From what I've seen, he's going to relish being the main man. And he never was at Manchester City. You can question his finishing. I've looked up the stats and compared to the other guys that were high on the scoring charts last season, his conversion rate is mediocre. I think it was 18%. It's still higher than Harry Kane's.
But over the course of the last 5 seasons, he's never achieved more than his expected goals. Like, he's never outperformed.
Coming off the bench.
Yeah, but I think the underlying stats suggest he hasn't been a clinical finisher while he's been at Manchester City. Now, that does seem to have changed in pre-season at Arsenal, and he does seem to have really settled in nice and quickly. He's the player that I don't have in my draft at the moment, that I'm sitting there scratching my head as to how I'm going to find the budget to get up to him.
Yeah, when you consider the likes of Watkins at 7.5 and your Tonys and your Antonios, when you think that Jesus is only a tad bit more expensive, I think it's a real standout. So yeah, he's definitely in my team alongside Haaland. But I'm on the same point, really. I'm scared of Kane, of not having him. It's one or the other, and I might end up flitting between the two. For Dortmund, he scored goals at a rate of more than one per 90 minutes. That is phenomenal. In the Champions League, it's even better than that. So this kid is special, and Man City create just stacks of chances, don't they? I think it's frightening. The Golden Boot has been won with 22 or 23 goals in the last 4 seasons. I think he's going to smash that to smithereens. I really do. I think we're talking late 20s or 30. I think he's got that much potential in this City team.
Jules, outside of these three strikers, because it does feel like so many people are talking about Kane, Haaland, Jesus, you sent me over your draft. You've got Harry Kane and a Manchester United striker, namely Anthony Martial.
Yeah, I believe in Martial for this season. We mentioned about him a little bit in the first preview. He's been really amazing in those friendly matches. And again, it's only friendlies, but I think for what Ten Hag wants his number 9 to do and the way they're playing, he's he's perfect for that. And I think Ten Hag has, I seen that very, very quickly. He was very happy with him. I think he's going to play. I think he showed the goals that he scored and the assist that he's given. The last one for Rashford was magnificent the other day when they build up from the back. I think he's a perfect Ten Hag player. And I think Ten Hag is the perfect manager to resurrect his career in a way, because he hasn't been great, let's be honest, the last two seasons. So his price is 7 million. I think, again, it's a very, very, very interesting call.
Okay, so Martial's a little bit cheaper at 7, but we often need some cheaper strikers if we're going to have all of these Mo Salahs, Haalands, Kanes. Where else should we be looking?
I mean, I've got even Tony at the moment. He's in that 7 category. But if you want to go a little bit cheaper again, then, of course, there's Mitrovic coming up from the Championship.
And are we going to go there?
Well, we might do, mightn't we? Because it saves that extra 0.5 on the likes of Martial and Tony. I mean, last time he played in the Premier League, he managed just 3 goals. He really did not have a very good season, but he did get 43 goals in the Championship last season. It's not bad at all, is
it? He's got a manager. I watched quite a lot of Fulham last year, and he's got a manager that now I think is playing to his strengths, understands him. He is that focal point of that team.
He'll play. He has to play this time.
And I don't think that Fulham are necessarily going to come into the Premier League and score that many goals. But when they do get goals, I would bet on Mitrovic being part of the goal scorers at that club. So, yes, he's going to not necessarily be up there with the Jesuses and the Harry Kanes and the Haalands of
get
goal scoring.
For, but
exactly, Kelly. Even if he gets half of their points, well, he's half of their price. So it's worth it, I think, for me. He could be worth a little pump.
Yeah, no, I agree. I'm going down a different route. I've spent too much money at the back, too much in midfield. My third striker will be a 4.5, and it's slim pickings, I've got to say, at the moment. You're looking at Sam Greenwood, who I know has been very popular in the marketplace. Will get some game time, I think, under Jesse Marsh. The one to keep your eye on is Cameron Archer at Villa. He's only 4.5. He's on loan in the Championship last season. He is a top talent. He's 20, really clinical marksman. Reminds me a little bit of a young Ian Wright. I think he's got the ability to challenge Watkins and Ings if he's not sent out on loan. So keep your eye on him.
Keeps being linked on loan to Watford, so I'm kind of going to hope that actually happens. If not, maybe I'll bring him into my FPL team. This does actually open up a really interesting debate and question. The captaincy, we've just spoken there, rounding off our positional chat, we've spoken there about so many good premium options. Before it was Mo Salah, set and forget pretty much, wasn't it, Jules? It's going to be a lot more varied this year, isn't it?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, you could have your strategy, which is to keep the same one, whether it's Salah or Kane or whoever you want, or rotate them. I can't remember who it was when they're on the show last season or the season before, saying that you should not captain someone who plays against the top six team. That's one strategy. Like I said, my app on my phone knows me so well that it's automatically Harry Kane if he's in the team that gets the captaincy. So, you know, I don't think I'm going to change much.
Yeah, I think it will cause a lot of variation. Now, we're going to round off our chat today. We've tried to go through the positions as in-depth as we can there, but we could have frankly been talking all day. There's so many interesting price points and options in FPL this season, but I promised it at the beginning, I'm going to put you all on the spot now. And this is kind of in homage to Jules last season early on, saying that Aaron Ramsdale was going to be brilliant. Aaron Ramsdale was brilliant. I'm thinking that he can't do it two seasons in a row. So I want predictions so that we can play them back, we can laugh at them, or maybe we can show that you do sometimes know what you're talking about, you guys. So let's start with who will be this season's top FPL point scorer, Sam.
I mean, is it really predictable of me if I sit here and say Harry Kane?
Yes.
I mean, I do think genuinely he could be. Had he performed as we saw at the end of last season, at the beginning, if he'd have started well, I think he would have been the top point scorer this time around as well. So I do think, as boring as it sounds, that it could be him this time.
I could have answered that for her. Adrian?
I don't want to go outside of Salah, really, because he's so proven, but I've just tipped up Haaland to score, you know, around 30 goals. So I'm going to say Erling Haaland. I think he's going to be phenomenal this season.
Jules?
I'll go for Mo Salah. I think the big factor for him and for Haaland, to be fair, is no World Cup for them, which is going to be huge, having that month off pretty much between mid-November to mid-December or end of November and to December, compared to all the ones who are going to go to Qatar, like Harry Kane, like Trent Alexander-Arnold, like all the others playing in the World Cup, potentially going really far as well, and then coming back in some sort of form. So we'll have to see. So I'll go for Salah.
None of you have really thought outside the box there, but that's kind of what I'd expect. You'd expect one of the premiums, wouldn't you? In contrast, who is currently flying under the radar when we're talking about FPL, but you think could be a great differential this season? Go on, Adrian, you're first.
Oh, I was hoping you'd pick someone else.
No one was making eye contact with me then because no one wanted me to come to them first.
This is such a difficult one. I think last season, Jarrod Bowen was the one that emerged, that he came through, didn't he? Again, I'm going to sound a little bit biased here with my Arsenal background, but the one player that is making great strides every time I see him play is Martin Ødegaard. Mm-hmm. He's available at 6.5. I think around 10 or 11% of players have picked him in their team. He is a guy that is capable of scoring 8 to 10 goals and maybe making 10 to 12 assists in a season. He hasn't produced those kind of numbers yet, but what I'm seeing from him, especially with Gabriel Jesus and the movement and the sharpness, I think he can be Arsenal's KDB. I really do. Oh. That's how good I think Martin Ødegaard can be this season. So keep your eye on him.
Keep our eye on Martin Ødegaard. Jules is now being presented with something that has Minnie Mouse on it. Jules' children have re-emerged. This is little Margot, I think.
Yeah,
oh, she's very cute. That can't be Jules' kid. Jules, your differential, please.
My differential, I go for Anthony Martial. I really believe in him and the Ten Hag for this season. I think he could be a really good pick at 7 million. So I go for, and I have, he's French and from Paris as well. So it's a no-brainer.
The French tourism board been in touch once again. Sam, I've just seen you really freshly reading your notes. I feel like you've got a few there that you're trying to pick from.
I was just kind of pondering on life, really, as I was waiting for you to come to me, because I think Grealish could be a really good pick this year. I think Leon Bailey. I also think we haven't mentioned him yet, but Marcus Rashford, I think he's going to have a phenomenal season this time around under Ten Hag.
Or Sancho.
Or Sancho. I think one of those will be the standout pick, and it's working out which one it's going to be now. But
come on, don't sit on that fence. I need one name.
Rashford. I think Rashford will have a great season.
Wow. Okay, Marcus Rashford. He's certainly been saying all the right things during pre-season. He seems very happy under Erik ten Hag. Now, Jules, I'm going to let you go because there's children surrounding you. There's people going in cupboards behind you. You've got a couple of days left of your holiday and we don't want to take up any more time. Keep checking those FPL drafts, though. Of course, we need you back next Thursday because we do still have one more podcast ahead of the big season start. That will be looking ahead specifically to game week one. To everyone listening, a reminder, there is still another podcast that we recorded earlier this week. That was our first episode, so you can still go back and take that in. And don't forget, if you haven't yet registered your team, you can do that on the Premier League app and on fantasy.premierleague.com. There's also plenty of brilliant content over there too, including experts revealing their teams. Thank you to everyone for listening. Thanks to Adrian, to Sam and to Jules for interrupting his holiday for us. And we'll be back with you next Thursday.